First Samuel chapter 19. Well, we're at the point where David is getting more and more popular because he keeps winning battles against the Philistines. And of course, he's killed Goliath. And the women have come and sung, Saul killed his thousands and David his tens of thousands. And Saul is jealous. And so Saul spoke to Jonathan his son and to all his servants that they should kill David. But Jonathan, Saul's son, delighted much in David. Jonathan told David, saying, Saul, my father, seeks to kill you. Therefore, please, be very careful. Wait until the morning. Hide in a secret place. And I'll go out and stand beside my father in the field where you are. And I'll talk with my father about you. And I'll inform you what I find out. Jonathan spoke good of David unto Saul his father and said to him, Don't let the king sin against his servant, against David. He hasn't sinned against you, and his works towards you have been very good, because he put his life in his hand and killed the Philistine, and the Lord worked a great salvation for all Israel. You saw it, and at the time you rejoiced. Why then are you going to sin against innocent blood to kill David without a reason? Saul listened to the voice of Jonathan, and Saul promised, As the Lord lives, he shall not be killed. Jonathan called David, and Jonathan showed him all these things. And Jonathan brought David to Saul, and he was in his presence, as in times past. Well, Saul could swear that I'm not going to hurt David, and yet he wasn't telling the truth. It's all so difficult. And I see in all this something a little bit similar to our situation with Jesus. Because, of course, Jonathan was loyal to his father. He was his father's son, but he had to realize that actually, his father was wrong, and it's really difficult to recognize that your family may actually be wrong, and that your loyalty must be to someone else, and that someone else is Jesus. And so it can happen that we're in a position where the people around us expect us to take a position against Jesus, and we've got to stand up for him. This can easily happen at work, at school, even in families, depending what family you're from, where people talk badly about Jesus or about God. And you have to stand up for him and say, look, Jesus was good. He was not bad. Jesus is the Son of God. He's not a nobody. And yes, there is a God. Don't talk like that about God. There is a God, and God is a God of love. Just like here, Jonathan had to stand up to his father and say, look, you're wrong, Dad. David is a good man. Don't do this and don't have this attitude. There was again war, and David went and fought with the Philistines and killed many of them, and they fled from him. And the evil spirit from the Lord was upon Saul as he sat in his house with his javelin in his hand, and David was playing the harp with his hand. Again, we see the evil spirit from the Lord. It's not true that there's all these sort of evil spirits wandering around, getting inside people, making them sin. Clearly, God is 100% powerful, so there's no room, if you like, for somebody called Satan or the devil. This is all under God's absolute control. And the word spirit can really mean the mind. Well, clearly, here it was jealousy. He hears that David's won a huge victory against the Philistines, and he has this evil spirit from the Lord come upon him. What it was that he was jealous, and that was the evil mind or spirit he had, but God confirmed him in that. Because God will confirm you whatever way you want to go, to be spiritual or to be jealous. And so Saul tried to kill David by smiting him to the wall with a javelin. But again, David slipped away out of Saul's presence, and the javelin went thud into the wall, and David fled and escaped that night. Saul sent messengers to David's house to watch him and to kill him in the morning. And Michal, David's wife, now Michal was Jonathan's sister and Saul's daughter, she told him, saying, If you don't save your life tonight, tomorrow you'll be dead. So Michal let David down through a window, and he went and fled and escaped. Well, there's sort of themes in the Bible. You think of Saul or Paul being let down over the wall when he was in Damascus to save his life. You think of the spies being let down the wall by Rahab. And I think these similarities occur so that you can start to see that actually what I'm going through in my life is not actually unique. It's not only happening to me. It's happened to other people. And that is why, as Paul says, through patience and comfort of the scriptures, we have hope. As you read all these stories, you start to see something similar between what some of these people went through and what you go through. But Michael took an image and laid it in the bed and put a pillow of goat's hair for his pillow and covered it with a cloth. And when Saul sent messengers to take David, she said, "He's sick." Saul sent the messengers again to David, saying, "Bring him up to me in the bed and I'll kill him." When the messengers came in, there was an image in the bed with a pillow of goat's hair. And Saul said to Michael, "Why have you deceived me like this and sent away my enemy that he escaped?" And Michael told Saul, "He told me, 'Let me go. Why should I kill you?'"
He's not your enemy, Father.
That's right. That's what she should have said. "He's not your enemy, Father." That's exactly right. That's what she should have said. And when you read the Bible, you should often ask yourself, well, what should this person have done? But, of course, she was torn between loyalty to her father and loyalty to her husband. And this is the trouble. And this is why Jesus said that following me is not easy, because it's going to result in a man being against his wife or against his in-laws, his wife's family, brother against brother, father against son. And sadly, this is how it often goes, because people will not give themselves completely to the things of God. So David fled and escaped and came to Ramah, where Samuel was, and told him all that Saul had done to him, and he and Samuel went and lived in Naoth. It was told Saul, saying, "Behold, David is at Naoth." Saul sent messengers to take David, and when they saw the company of the prophets prophesying and Samuel standing as appointed over them, the Spirit of God came upon the messengers of Saul, and they also prophesied. It's just what happened to Saul when he first was chosen to be king. When it was told Saul, he sent other messengers, and they prophesied also. Saul sent messengers the third time, and they prophesied also. Then he himself went to Ramah and came to a great well in Seku. And he asked and said, "Where are Samuel and David?" And somebody said, "They're at Naoth." So he went to Naoth, and the Spirit of God came upon Saul also. And he also started prophesying until he came to Naoth, and he stripped off his clothes also and prophesied before Samuel in the same way. And he lay down naked all that day and night. That's why they say, "Is Saul also among the prophets?" So God was trying to show Saul, look, my spirit is active, and you can't resist my spirit. Just work with me and not against me. And God gives us the same messages very often. So you do feel for David here, that his wife, on one level, she loved him, but she also loved her father. Her brother Jonathan was his best friend, and Jonathan was more loyal to David than his sister Michael was. And he also loved his dad, but he also loved David. So you see how it's all these conflicts that arise once you are loyal to God and to Jesus. And there's no way out of this apart from to go through it and to realize that this is a test from God. But it also shows the unusual blessing that one has if they grow up in a family where everybody is committed to God and to Jesus. You don't realize it when you're young. As you get older, you realize what a huge blessing that is.